Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. It's the place He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I just want to know, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. You may recall that 2 weeks ago, the sermon message was on sin. And we talked about the definition as found in the American Tract Society Dictionary of Sin. It stated or defined sin as any thought, word, desire, action, or admission of action contrary to the law of God or defective when compared with it. We discussed the fact that God hates sin. He hates every sin and can never be reconciled to it. We learned that if we do not repent of sin, that God will not forgive us, and that sin will destroy our very soul. The fact that God forgives our sin is truly a blessing that He gives to us. But as we approach this Easter season, we also know that the greatest gift that God gave to us was His Son, Jesus, who came to earth and died on a cross, a horrible death, in order to take our sins upon Him. And by doing this, we became righteous enough to be in God's presence, to be covered with the blood of the Lamb, made us justified and righteous enough that we could come into God's presence. And if we accept this gift of salvation, that means that we can spend eternity with God in heaven. But as believers and as persons who have been saved, it is up to us not just to commit sins and ask for forgiveness. It is us to us to refrain from committing sins. But how do we, who are not perfect, how do we accomplish such a feat? Man is sinful by nature. We're taught that in God's Word. We see that from the very beginning of the first man and woman. Yet, God's Word provides us with instructions on how to resist the temptations that are put before us. Now, not being perfect doesn't mean that we shall be successful every time. But as believers and as children of God, it's our responsibility to resist temptation. And we are given these instructions in our text today by following Jesus' example when He was faced with temptation. So I ask you to follow along as I read our text, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. This is when Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted. So I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Why did Jesus spend 40 grueling days in the desert with the devil to be tempted by him? He did so, I believe, for three reasons. Jesus faced temptation in the desert in order to identify with humanity. As we know, God being God could have sent his son as an adult to the earth and just had him appear and be here on earth. He could have sent him as a teenager. He could have kept him from physical pain, from mental anguish, but he did not. He had him born of an earthly mother. Had him grew up in a regular family with brothers. He had him to suffer the physical pain of maybe hitting his finger with the hammer. Certainly the pain of dying on the cross. The mental anguish that he suffered when he saw how sinful man was. So in order to identify with humanity, Jesus faced these temptations. And the author of Hebrews wrote in chapter 4, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. So Jesus allowed himself to be tempted in order to identify with humanity. Jesus faced temptation in the desert to succeed where Adam failed, to succeed in resisting temptation where Adam, the first man, failed. And by being successful in resisting this temptation, Jesus brought victory over sin to those of us who believe in him. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men. And he's talking about Adam and Eve's sin. Because of that sin, it was condemnation for mankind forever. So also the result of one act of righteousness, meaning Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, was justification that brings life to all men. So Jesus came to be tempted so that he would succeed where Adam failed and could bring righteousness to all of us. Jesus faced temptation in the desert to show us how to overcome temptation. And the plan that he gives to us is foolproof. The text teaches that Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. And during that 40-day period, by the time it ended, he had been tempted three times. And Matthew's account of Jesus's actions is very important to every believer because we all face temptation each and every day. And Jesus reveals his plan for three things we need to overcome temptation. We need first the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome temptation. Jesus' journey into the desert was accompanied by the Holy Spirit. He had the power of the Spirit with him. And we are foolish if we believe that we can survive in the desert with the devil on our own. Paul wrote, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? We are tiny, weak, and powerless compared to principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And facing temptation on our own is similar, but even more fateful than, say, walking alone in New York City late at night or swimming in shark-infested waters with a bleeding wound. It's inevitable that we will fail when we try to do it on our own. We need someone with us who will scare the devil, who causes him to tremble in fear, and that someone is the Holy Spirit. Remember, he who kicked the devil out of heaven will also conquer him here on earth. Second, we need the Word of God to overcome temptation. When Jesus was facing temptation, he quoted the Word of God. He didn't attempt to argue with the devil. He didn't attempt to reason with the devil. He didn't attempt to impress Satan with his great power, physical or spiritual. Remember, Satan wants us to believe that we can embrace certain forms of temptation and overcome them ourselves. How many times has he whispered in our ear, you know, you can go to that place. You can resist the temptation to take a drink or to use drugs or to become part of the crowd. Yet Paul teaches us in Colossians that we are to put to death our earthly activities, our earthly nature, such as sexual immorality, impurity, evil thoughts, evil desires, lust and greed, which in fact is idolatry. As believers, we are not to display our spiritual power by playing with temptation. We need to run from it. We need to flee from it. We don't need to test our spiritual power against the Lord. Jesus did not attempt to shout down the devil. All the shouting in the world would not overcome Satan if we do not know the Word of God. But also notice that after Jesus quoted Scripture, what did the devil do? He quoted Scripture also. He kept returning back to tempt Jesus. And we erroneously believe that if we quote Scripture, such action will scare the devil and he will run away from us. Satan quoted the Scripture. He quoted the 91st Psalm to Jesus, saying, anyone that's a believer, that God will send the angels to protect him and not let his foot touch the ground. Well, what is our response when Satan provides what seems to be a spiritual reason to justify sin? Well, since you put it that way, Satan, I guess it wouldn't hurt just this one time. You know, Satan, you have a good point. I never looked at it that way before. We need to know what God's Word teaches. Yet we must realize that quoting Scripture is not some secret and magic formula which will make the devil disappear. He also knows and already knows what the Bible teaches. And it's because he did not obey the teachings of God, the instruction of God, that he no longer is in God's presence. Third, we need to be committed to God's Word to resist temptation. Now, this is different from quoting God's Word, from knowing God's Word. We need to be committed. And if there's an area in which we consistently fail, I believe it's our commitment to God's Word. Everything hinges on our commitment. The quality of life here on earth, and certainly, and more importantly, the quality of eternal life, or the fact whether we will have eternal life. Jesus quoted the Scripture, but it wasn't his ability to quote the Scripture which gave him the victory over Satan. He quoted Scripture so Satan would know that he was committed to God's Word. Jesus was committed to obeying God's Word. And that's why he would quote the Scripture in response to the temptation that Satan placed in front of him. Many people know the Word. How many of you know atheists that know the Bible better than you do? They can quote it verbatim, some of them. They can give you Scripture references because they have studied it in order to refute it, in order to argue with those of us who would try to witness to them. So knowing the Word is not enough. You have to be committed to the Word. Those people who can quote it verbatim are not necessarily committed to it. It's not the hearers of the Word of God that are justified. It's the doers of the Word. Those who obey it. Those who follow its instructions. Those who live out each day the principles and teachings of God's Word. It's our commitment to God's Word which gives us the victory over temptation and sin. We cannot compromise God's Word and expect to walk away with victory. We must be committed to being submitted to the Word. James wrote, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." In Psalm 119, the psalmist prays that his heart will be committed to living according to God's Word. He says, "I hide your Word in my heart that I may not sin against you." That I may not sin against you, God. So Jesus was tempted in the desert in three different ways. And John, the beloved disciple, enumerates these ways in 1 John chapter 2. "For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has or does comes from the world." Well, what did the devil want Jesus to do? He wanted him to satisfy his body. Thirsty? Here. Turn those stones into bread. The cravings of sinful man. The lust of his eyes. Here you see all of these kingdoms. I will give them to you. I will have, if you'll bow down to me, you can have everything. And we learn from our text that Jesus was tempted in these three areas. Adam and Eve were tempted in these three areas, and so shall we be tempted in these three areas. The greed of our body, the greed of what our eyes lust for, and the greed of what we've accomplished, what we own. Any and all sins will fall into one of these three categories. So friends, as long as we are on this desert we call earth, as long as we inhabit it, we will be tempted each and every day by the devil. But we can overcome that temptation if we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, if we stay full in the Word of God, and if we remain committed to what that Word teaches. And if you have not experienced that, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior and allowed Him to help you overcome the temptations that we face each day. What better day than today? Next Sunday is no better. Easter Sunday is no better. You know, your birthday Sunday is no better. What better day than today to say, yes, Jesus, I am a sinner, and I confess my sins to you, and I accept the gift of salvation that your Father offers through my belief in you, and help me overcome these temptations. If you want to be a part of the kingdom of God and have that help in dealing with temptations that may be in your life, it may be an addiction, it may be alcohol, it may be drugs, it may be a problem with personal and social relationships, it may be whatever. If you want help with that and helping you deal with the temptations that we all face, come as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 300, and again, we invite you to stand as we sing.